Yes, the NYPD is the good guys, although in this case they appear to be, they have been painted as the bad guys by the New York Times and by another number of other institutions, and are evidently being used by a not-so-good organization known as CARE, which we all know about here, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They have decided to go after a film that was narrated by my guest, Dr. Zudi Jasser, called The Third Jihad, a description of the political, those members of groups who pursue what he calls political Islam, an attempt to marry religious, more radical elements of religious belief with political activism. So welcome back, Dr. Jasser, and why don't you talk to us a little bit about the controversy going on with the NYPD and Raymond Kelly's participation in the making of that movie.
Yeah, it's sort of incredible in that this movie we put out, you know, I did with the Clarion Fund, and I was interviewed, and then they really appreciated our approach so much at the American Islamic Forum for Democracy that they asked me to interview it. It was done back in 2008. We rolled it out in 2009. At the time, we sent formal invitations to the major Islamic groups that we identify as problematic in the movie and asked them to join us for the rollout at the National Press Club for a debate, a panel to discuss the issues, and they all blanketly refused. So this was in May 2009. The movie now is available on Netflix and has been probably viewed by millions around the world. And now all of a sudden, a year ago, the Village Voice came out with a report saying that, oh my gosh, you know, the NYPD showed it in training. And this movie is, by the way, completely in line with the NYPD's seminal report on homegrown terrorism that talks about how a normal, unsuspecting Muslim can become radicalized through theological radicalization called the 2007 report. And ultimately, it is in line with that. The movie includes interviews with Bernard Lewis, Tom Ridge, former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, Senator Lieberman, and others. I mean, it's a who's who of counterterrorism. And then the story from the Village Voice sort of went away because Commissioner Kelly basically said, well, it was shown, but not too many people saw it. And then after a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, a month ago, it came out that 1,500 officers were shown. So now it became a federal problem that this thing was shown. And so many officers saw it. The New York Times has now had 12 different stories about it in 3 weeks. They even had an unsigned editorial saying that it was a hate film and it was anti-Islam. And they ignored the fact that it was narrated by a devout Orthodox Muslim. They never addressed the facts of the movie. And then all of a sudden you had an op-ed in the New York Times a week ago from one of the directors at the NYU Law School, the Brennan Center, that pretty much pointed out what they were after. They want to put in an inspector general into the NYPD because they feel they've gone rogue. And sure enough, this is not just one story. It's a story that's been amplified by a number of AP stories that have been complaining about surveillance in the Muslim communities and mosques, et cetera. But yet not one case has been overturned. Not one indictment has been proven to be inappropriate based on any of those behaviors. And they're just fear-mongering and, I think, using our community and the Muslim issue that need the Muslim solution, by the way, as a tool in partisan bickering.
Yeah, it sounds to me as though the NYPD gets a fair amount of cooperation from a lot of these mosques and from, if not always from the leaders, then from individual ordinary Muslims who are concerned about this going on in their mosques, and that this is an attempt to some degree to, as you say, set up an IG almost to run interference for the bad guys.
And it completely feeding into the agenda of the Islamists, of those that collectivize our communities based on faith identity, saying that anybody that criticizes these Islamic political groups that are Muslim Brotherhood legacy groups, like we talk about in the Third Jihad, that they have this evangelical Western mission to spread Sharia law, to spread their organizations. And ultimately, anybody that takes them on is equivalent to criticizing the faith of Islam and is thus not Muslim. It's almost like the same type of apostasy argument that I get from the radical jihadists that say that I'm not a Muslim because I believe in the secular state and the separation of mosque and state. And yet the liberal establishment has basically said through the New York Times and others that they're going to accept what CARE and others feel is Muslim and not, and not even look at what is the debate within the House of Islam, and that this is no different than what our founding fathers went through in escaping the Church of England and theocracy, but they don't really care about that because as far as they're concerned, they will use the Muslim minority group to push forth the liberal agenda that somehow they're the defenders of the minorities and they're going to stop rogue police forces and, you know, let the facts sort of be damned, I guess.
Well, you know, I think there's also a temptation, and this has been true. You can see this all the way going all the way back to September 11th. There's a temptation to reach out to whatever organizations happen to be available. If you're well-intentioned, the temptation is to simply look at what organizations have been formed, people who appear to be in leadership positions in a community, reach out to them and talk to them. And that's a position that care really with substantial Saudi funding, not as much American funding, not funded by everyday American Islams, Muslims worried about those issues that affect the communities here in the United States, but really funded overseas more than anything else, has asserted for itself. And that's where groups like your own American Islamic Forum for Democracy and the other group that you're involved with, the American Islamic Leadership Council, can fill a gap and provide an opportunity for those who really do want to find a way to counter the radicalism of care and those groups. Your groups provide an alternative that works within and really in concert with those American ideals.
Yeah, and that coalition, our American Islamic Leadership Coalition, came together and signed a statement where they said there's nothing in the movie they find offensive. Over 20 Muslim leaders of organizations in Canada and North America said that the film was, if anything, pro-Muslim because it marginalized these Islamist groups. And I would ask people to look at that statement at AmericanIslamicLeadership.org and then send notes of protest to the New York Times and the AP and tell them that, you know, this is not about Muslims. It's about understanding the ideology that we're fighting and helping, you know, Muslims be diverse. You're really doing a sort of lowest hanging fruit process where they just sort of, like you said, take the easy ones that are really using our faith as a political entity and part of this Islamist movement and not giving us time. I mean, unfortunately, the allies that are natural allies are going to be the hardest to get to come together in what we're doing because they separate mosque and state and want to be politically active in Republican or Democratic Party or in their Rotary Clubs or Bar Association. And they don't want to do the sort of this hard work within the community because they came to the U.S. to escape these pressures of Islamism, of the Brotherhood parties and others that exist in Egypt and in Syria and elsewhere. So we have to sort of develop this. And people can come to AIFdemocracy.org to help join us and network.
Absolutely, and it's something that is common to many, many immigrant and minority groups in the United States, organizations that are not representative, and hopefully the founding of organizations that are representative. Zuhdi Jasser, thank you very much for joining us here on Backbone Radio this evening. We'll be right back after the break with James Bennett.